Good morning. This morning, you see the slide will be in two languages. The top one would be in Vietnamese and the bottom one in English. So this would be the chance for you. If you understand Vietnamese, you can read the Vietnamese. If you understand English, you can follow with the English. Thanksgiving in God's providence. I'm going to use the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30 to go over the message. And you can see the church, we begin to decorate for Thanksgiving. And our church, we're going to have Thanksgiving service on December the 1st. Because usually we organize Thanksgiving event after Thanksgiving, because we want the church people have the family gathering first, and then after that we have the church service for Thanksgiving. And this year is very, very strange, because Thanksgiving it formed like on the 28th, and then the following Sunday it formed under like December the 1st. So that's how things would happen. And we celebrate Thanksgiving, but it's also the first Sunday, like Advent Sunday. So we do both at the same time on December the 1st. So if you want to participate in Thanksgiving, like a testimony or the children singing, or you know, whatever you want to celebrate, or you know, for Thanksgiving, make sure sign up with Chú Thành, Deacon Thành. And you understand, as the disciple or the people who believe in Jesus Christ, as the follower of Christ, in that journey of faith, you and I always face some challenges and sometimes hardship. And sometimes we have to deal with sorrow. So the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30, assuring us that God always be there. He always had a good plan for all of us, for you and me, for the people who love him. So this sermon, we will explore God's providence and how we can give thanks to him, even in the difficult time, or even in the good time, or not so good time. Okay? So let's go over the passage real quick. All right. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he always predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brother and sister. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So let's pray. Our Father, we thank you very much just being here to share and to learn about this passage in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28 to 30, about thanksgiving in God's providence. So that I pray that the Holy Spirit continue to use me to share the message from my heart and from learning from you. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be among the people who can understand the message and apply for their own life. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Three things I'm going to share with you this morning. Everything come together for the good of love of God. And second thing, God wants us to be made in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And God's salvation work, he calling, justifying, and glorifying him. So I will go from point to point. Number one, everything comes together for the good, for the love of God. The book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28, I will read again. And we knew that on in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So right at the beginning, Paul, he already talked on.
So basically, God gives every servant sanctification and good or bad. To bring about good for those who love him. This tells us to be that every situation is inherently good, but through God's power and wisdom, everything contributes to his overlying purpose. And then Paul is going to say, those who love God. So he's not just talking about anybody. But he talk about you and me, the one who loves God. So he refers to those who have
genuinely faith, who love and live in a close relationship to him. So basically, Paul tries to tell us, do you really love God? Because if you love God, everything we work out for good. Good or not so good. So he continued to say, called according to his purpose. So basically, each person in us, God already predestined or preordained plan for those who believe in him. So he called them to be part of his redemptive purpose. So what exactly upon try to tell the people at that time, tell the people who follow Christ at his time, and also try to tell us during this time, in the modern time here. He basically communicate to us, if we are the disciple of God, it means we love God. If we love God, everything happening in your life is in his plan. So sometimes as a parent, you know, I have two kids. They marry and now they have their own kids. So when we have the children, we're very, very glad, we're very, very happy to have the children. And we pray for them. But reality, we don't know the future. We don't know what exactly the future prepares for them. But we pray to God and we trust God as we love God. God would prepare our children the best plan he can plan for. So of course, as a parent, sometimes your child gets sick. Sometimes they disobey you as a parent. Okay? You give them advice. You talk to them. You teach them. But everything we point back to Christ. We pray for them, and we hope that God prepare the path or the best one for them. And our job as a parent, we only pray. We do the best we can as a parent, try to lead them on the moral, biblical moral, hopefully point them to the right path, and using us as a parent, as a guiding, as the symbol, you know, lead them by example. And the same thing, you are the disciple of Christ. You are believe in God. You believe in Jesus Christ. You have, know for sure you have eternal life. And believe it or not, God prepare the future for you. As long as you have faith in him, as long as you're obedient to his teaching, everything else will fall in place for his good, his redemptive purpose. All of you, most of you probably don't know the story of Job. Because Job, you understand he's a righteous man. And the devil, Satan, come to God and say, hey, you know, because God protect him. So that reason why because of God provide him all the blessing, so that the reason why he be righteous in front of God. So let me test him. This is what Satan said. Let me test him and see under the chaos, under the challenge of life, and see if he's still obedient to God. And you understand a lot of things happened to Job. You know, his wife kept abandoned him, asked him to curse God. And even his friend come to him and said, have to curse God. You understand, because he had the illness, you know, all his children die, all his property very much destroyed within one day. But however, he's still faithful to God. And at the end of the result, God gave him double or a lot more than what he lose. So what I'm communicate to you, even though you or I or some of the member of family may face challenge in life, but trust in God, because the blessing of him is still fulfilled, you know, if you long enough, live long enough to look back and you see the blessing of him still there. So the Bible try to communicate, we have the thanksgiving in adversity, because nothing in this life eventually you will face, it's not smooth, it's not like we expected. You will face difficulty, and of course you will face things come out good, the blessing. But remember, God always uses all these circumstances for our benefit. So give thanks to God not only for the blessing, but also for the trials, and knowing he always there, he always at work. And when you understand that, you will be strongly to share your faith, because when you believe that God works all things for good, so it can encourage us to share our faith with others, especially when your friend or other people face challenges. The same time last year, years ago, I already told you this story. It's happened in Houston. The father, he faced a challenge, but he didn't seek advice or counsel, because this family kept living alone, break away from the community, okay? So they kept lonely, separated. And up to the point, under stress or depression, lost the will of life, of living. So the same time this year, of last year, same day, okay, the father killed the mom, and the girl, only 11 or 12 years old, still in school. And the school just wait for the parent come and pick this girl. And the parent never come. So they call the police. When they come to the apartment, they find out things happen. So what I'm trying to communicate to you, during the Thanksgiving, Christmas, Vietnamese New Year, so many young people or adult people, they depress. So that reason why we need to reach out. You have never know. Maybe your friend at work, they face a challenge and they lost the will to live. And try to recognize all that little thing. And sometimes share your faith, probably you will save their lives. And the same thing during Christmas. You know, our church, we work with the police department down in Richmond. So they always calling us, because the hotline during Christmas is very, very busy. A lot of young people have the ideas of commit suicide during Christmas Eve. So I'm reminding you, it's just the same thing reminding me, pay attention on the little thing, you know, on the people around you. Sometimes God using you to share your faith, and you have never know. You may save life. Secondly, God wants us to be made in the image of Jesus. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the first son among many brothers and sisters. So Paul continued to say, those he foreknew, God has complete and infinite knowledge of everyone. He knows you and me. He knows deep down in your thought what happened in your soul, your happiness, your wish, your vision, your desire, he knew. But he chose you on the folks who will become his children. So anything, it happened not just accident. It's not accident when you was born with your mom and your dad. It's not an accident, but predestined you, the children of your mom and your dad. And you cannot avoid that. Okay? And it's not accident when you become a Christian. When somebody come to you, share the message, and you pray, accept Christ. It's not accident when you go to the church and you hear my message today. It's not accident. But everything destined for good. Okay? So God's goal is transform us to be like Jesus morally and spiritually. This involves learning to live in truth, in love, and forgiveness, and also obedience like Jesus. The passage sometimes, you know, it's easy to say and easy to hear, but it's difficult to apply. How can you love a person if that person you don't even know? But God's still telling you, love this person, to share the message, bring these people to Christ, this stranger to Christ, so he have eternal life. And you meet the stranger, sometimes they have some weird thinking or depression. It's not accident when God suddenly calling you to say something, to share the message and pull this person out of depression. Just like last year, after our worship, Christmas worship service, roughly about 1 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call from a Richmond Police Department. I said, Pastor Hong Seng, we need your help. So I said, well, what? 1 o'clock. We just done with family. For the Vietnamese, we had a midnight celebration dinner. So I said, we need your help. There's a girl, roughly about 14 years old. Okay, she cut her wrist right here because feel lonely and depression. Okay, and her parents didn't know what to do. And the parents sometimes not understand what's going on, deeply emotional inside, you know, their kids. And sometimes the girl had a problem to talk with the parent because the conflicts are communication issue. So they called the pastor. And of course, what did I do? Okay, I just come and say, what's going on? Tell me. So I'm sit there, listen for 15 or 20 minutes. Okay, so she pull out on the thing she keep inside herself. So I say, well, anything else I can pray for you? And then I listen to another 20 or 15 minutes. So finally, so I summarize. So you want me to pray for you? 1, 2, 3. And she said, yes. So I pray for her. So a lesson I learned, sometimes we be the image of Jesus Christ. All we have to do, just listen. I'm not providing the solution because as a person, I don't have the power or the ability to change the people's mind. All I can do is I share a little bit what Bible, what Jesus Christ said. I listen and I pray. Hopefully this Christmas, the girl will come to our church, okay? And I let you hear what's going on in her mind when she has some people listen to her and pray for her. So the lesson learned is sometimes you don't have to explain anything. You don't have to use your knowledge and ability to tell the people what to do, because you are not trained for it. But one thing you can do, just love this person. Listen to this person and pray for this person and pray that Christ will change her mind, give her peace and love and forgiveness for whoever hurt her. Okay? So that one of the example of image of Christ. So the next person probably you know, the football coach, our icon is the coach. This is for football. Probably you recognize this face and the name, the Houston Texan head coach. The great coach not only teaches the skill how to play the sport, but also the great coach had to shape the athletic spirit, the character, the attitude to reach their highest potential. So the same thing, God is like the spiritual coach. As a pastor, Pastor Chris, we only give you the advice, but you have to rely on Christ like a spiritual coach and using the life lesson from him, from the scripture, to mold you to be like Jesus. That's the ultimate highest level of spiritual formation formation. So you have to learn to love like Jesus. So to do that, you have to accept the change. Because long time ago, you are the sinner. Okay? Now you believe in Christ. Now you carry the image of Christ. So there is a transition or the change from the sinner to the saint. So you have to accept that change, to show love, forgiveness to others, even when we are hurt. This will help to become more like Jesus, live according to his teaching. So you need to focus on God's goals instead of prioritizing personal goals. Make God's goals becoming more like Jesus as a top priority of your life. So that's the transition to the new life. So before you get out of the house to go to work, you pray to God to protect you for the whole day. Okay? And when you got in the car, you pray, keep you safe to your destination. Okay? And you have the love of God, so suddenly your worker says something easily, you may get hurt, you may get upset. Now it's just like nothing. Okay? You can have calm and comfort. Why you can do that? Because Christ is your top priorities. And when you get home, you praise, thank God, everything okay. And you see your wife, your spouse, your husband, you feel happy. Have the smile in the face. All the things burning at work, you leave behind. You don't carry it home. And you have good sleep at night, peacefully, joyfully. Thirdly, God's salvation work, calling, justifying, glorifying. Upon, he said, and this whom he predestined, he also called. And this whom he called, he also justified. And this whom he justified, he also glorified. So Paul said, he can't. So God invites us through the preaching of the word. You hear the message today. You read the Bible. Like the message, like he can't. And the work of the Holy Spirit, calling us to become God's children. He justified through the sacrifice of Jesus, we are forgiven and declared righteous before God. So nobody can put you down when you know you are the children of God. And God is the King of all kings. So you're no longer just a slave, but now you're the prince of the King of Kings. You are the princess of the King of Kings. So your position is much higher. You have to recognize your position. So that reason why nobody in this life can put you down. Okay. And also Paul said, he justified through the sacrifice of Jesus, we are forgiven and declared righteous of God. And he said, he glorified. So God's goal is to bring us to eternal glory where we live in his presence forever. And that's the promise. Just like John 3:16, whoever believes in him have everlasting life. And you're familiar with the story of the prodigal son. So this son, he grew up in a very, very wealthy family. And then he left his father. He lived in the sinful life. But eventually, after he went through all this trial, he returned home. And the story talking about his father welcomed him, restored him, rejoice. This is the illustration of God's forgiveness and his unconditional love for each of us when we return to him. Yes, through life, sometimes you make mistakes. Through life, sometimes, yes, you may ask the question, why is God? But remember, just like the prodigal son, when you return to him, he always welcomes you back. He forgives you his unconditional love to us. He didn't question you or create a condition. You have to do something to earn his love. His love is unconditional love. So we have to trust in his call. So when we sense God's call, respond immediately. God calling us not only for salvation, but to live a meaningful life in his kingdom. If you not believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, the time is now, if God calling you. But if you already a Christian, you already believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, you know for sure you have eternal life. God wants you to live the meaningful life in his kingdom. You don't have to wait until you die to live in his kingdom, but this kingdom can be on this earth. And affirm forgiveness and righteousness. I put it down, accepting grace. Our life, we face a lot of things. Sometimes we have doubt. But the Bible reminded us, accepting grace. What exactly does it mean? It means you affirming forgiveness and righteousness. Remember, through Jesus Christ, we, or you and I, are forgiven and declare righteousness. So this understanding will give us peace and encourage so we can live the holy life. And thirdly, Paul is also talking about anticipating glory. When we live with hope in Jesus Christ, we think about the future glory that God has promised us, which helps us to maintain our faith. Even though we may face hardship, we may face challenges in life. So our conclusion, what exactly Roman telling us? So Romans chapter 8, 28, 30 is teaching us that God has a loving and good plan for the life of those who love him. So the question we would ask, or you would ask yourself, or we would ask ourselves, do we know God loves us and God has a good plan for us? Because he said, good plan for the life of those who love him. So everything under God's providence and his ultimate goal is for us to transform into the image of Jesus Christ and live with him in his glory. So we learn, at least today, to give thanks to our own circumstances, in good time or not so good time, because we know God is working for our good. When His plan, even when His plan is not clear for us, because none of us here for sure tomorrow or the future, but we know He has a good plan for us, even though we don't know tomorrow or the future, even though we're not even clear, that clear for us, but we trust in His promise. Let us stand up so I can pray. And Father, we thank You very much because Your word keep reminding us. We need to thank You for Your providence, because everything comes together for good and for the love of God. And God wants us to be made in the image of Jesus Christ, calling us justified, and we see the future to glory in You. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.